Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for iTalk Movies here on the Popcorn Talk. I am going to be talking about a really, really great movie that just came out. It is called First We Take Brooklyn, and I have the star, the co-writer, and the director of the film here with me in the studio, Danny A. It's going to be an amazing show, so please stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's iTalk Movies.
Hello again, everyone, and thank you for tuning into this edition of iTalk Movies here at the Popcorn Talk. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43, and I am joined here by Danny A. You have so many accolades listed to your name, especially for this movie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Where can everyone find you on social media?
Instagram, DannyA27.
And shout out to this song, which actually was the theme song for the film, correct?
Yes, it was. King Mean, Brooklyn Stick Up, what's up?
Yeah, you guys can find it online. It's a really good song. And this movie is awesome.
Thank you.
Really didn't know what to expect, you know, going into it. I was excited and, you know, it completely surpassed my expectations. And
oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to hear.
I did some research on you, Danny, before watching the film, which I actually really enjoyed. So before we start talking about the movie, I want to talk a little bit about you and your background. You know, you have been a filmmaker, you know, it's been about 10?
The first one that came out was 2010, Holy Rollers. But I would like think maybe 12 years now.
Yeah.
Working on it, trying to get it made.
And, you know, before that, you worked in the nightclub industry in New York City.
Yes, I did.
And that is what that film that you just referenced, you know, that's what it's about, right? Or is that
one? The first one I made was called Holy Rollers. It's about Hasidic Jews smuggling ecstasy with Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that was the first one. Went to Sundance. You're referring to Club Life.
To Club Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was in 2014.
So, I mean, the stories that you seem to tell kind of have a bit of you in every single story. And that's what I find fascinating. And I always find it fun when people in the industry that are becoming successful and are really came from a different background and they have an interesting story, you know, how they came into all of this.
Yeah, well, for me, I remember reading once that Scorsese, my favorite director, I think everyone's favorite director,
I think said, he likes you too, apparently.
I hope so. I mean, a little bit, maybe. He's the best. But he said, you know, you first make movies about things you know, people in the neighborhood, people, you know, that you're familiar with. And once you start mastering that and you run out of ideas, then you start opening a broader storyline. So for me, you know, Holy Rollers was just an incredible story about Hasidic Jews that smuggle ecstasy. And I actually knew one of the guys that was caught up in it just from being out in the club scene in New York. I watched this documentary thing and I thought it'd be interesting. But once I did that, I started looking for stories within my own story to see if I could find some stuff. And that's where Club Life came from.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you have this new film that, you know, now let's take Brooklyn. And it came out in New York last week.
Yeah, Friday. The 9th. It came out in New York and the tri-state area, New Jersey, New Rochelle, Long Island. And it comes out this Friday, February 16th, in Los Angeles and Miami.
Yeah.
And we're very excited.
And then later in May, I think there's VOD, DVD,
That would be in May, and we're hoping to get like a pretty long theatrical run, so we're excited. We did very, very well in New York, and now we're hoping to duplicate that in Miami and LA and see how long we can stay in theaters.
Yeah. Let's talk about the story a little bit so we can give a fan out there that might see it, or as many of you as possible, some teasers. So we follow Mickey.
Yeah,
you know?
Mickey Levy.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, yeah, Mickey. So Mickey goes to jail, goes to prison at age 17. And on a technicality, 18 years later, 19 years later, whatever it is, he gets out. And, you know, he gets a letter from his mom. She passed away. But she says to him, you have an uncle in New York, in Brooklyn, that you obviously know. Go visit him. He's going to take you in. So he comes to Brooklyn. And he just can't get out of his old ways, and he just gets, you know, caught up in that whole world again. And it's fascinating.
It is, you know, because you're rooting for this guy from the beginning, because we are seeing the film through your eyes.
Yeah.
But then we kind of see you progressively become kind of an asshole, and you're like, oh, Mickey, no, what are you doing, Mickey? But... But those are,
Mickey, yeah. I wouldn't tell Mickey's an asshole in his face, but yeah.
No, God.
Yeah.
God, that would be scary. But it's always a fun thing to watch a film or a TV show where the protagonist isn't really a protagonist, but in the audience's eyes, we're rooting for them.
Well, I did this movie as an actor called The Iceman, where I play this guy named Dino Laprone. He's Richard Kuklinski's best friend in The Iceman, and Richard Kuklinski was a mass murderer. He was a serial killer, mm-hmm. basically. But as I watched the movie, and the director did such a great job, is you really felt for Richie. He had the kids, the wife, you know, and he was a great father and a provider. And I felt like, you know, that's how, you know, even you call him a hero because he's the star of the movie. You know he's a killer, but you're kind of still rooting for him. You know, with Mickey, you know, it's an immigrant story, a guy that comes, you know, everyone can relate to that, comes to the States and tries to make it. And, you know, you see some good qualities in him, and you're like, I can't believe he's, you know, he's messing up like that. But I feel like that's, you know, that's what makes a great movie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is the kind of movie I feel like it didn't really go with the rules of Hollywood in movies, which is fun.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I did not want to make it a Hollywood movie. I really wanted to stick to the storyline. I wanted to stick to the characters. I wanted to speak Hebrew and do subtitles. When someone speaks Hebrew, there's no reason for them to speak in broken English mm-hmm. for me. And, you know, people, you know, Hollywood or wherever it is, studios would never make a movie like this because it's not commercial enough for them. But when you make independent films and you're able to do that, that's where, you know, magic happens, I feel like.
And, you know, you got some really great cast members along with you. Yeah. I mean, Annalyn McCord, honestly, I didn't know she could act like that.
She's great. She was great in this movie.
Was really so good. Impressed.
Yeah, she's amazing. A great person and been so supportive of the movie and all the press that she needed to do. And just been a pleasure. I want to work with her again. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, it's actually funny because going into this, so I did some research on you, and I didn't know exactly what the film was about, but as I started watching it, and I knew that you co-wrote it and directed it, I go, oh, this is his life story. And then... and then I go, oh, wait, it can't be. He'd be in jail. Like, this is, you know, 30%, 40%. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, no, this I'm interviewing him today.
No, nothing to do with me. But, you know, for me, that is the most fun to play those kind of characters. You know, I mean, it's something that you would obviously not see yourself doing. And when it, you know, you put me in a movie, I beat everybody up.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fun thing about it. But no, it's obviously not based on me or anything remotely close. But, you know, the similarities are there. I was born in Israel.
Right.
I was raised in Brooklyn. That's where it really stops, you know. But I've been around people similar to that with that kind of personality and kind of like a badass.
Do you ever, you know, get nervous from taking on past experiences and thinking... Well, that really crazy thing happened, and I know if this person sees that movie, they're going to kind of go, yeah, that was me.
Well, no. Most of the people that I make the movies about are not actually real. It's just stories.
I thought you were going to say they're dead.
And they're probably dead. No, but, you know, I take an example of one particular story that I heard, and then I kind of take different stories and create my own different character.
Yeah.
One different character. And I feel like that's the most interesting because you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
But no, it's never been really based on one particular... You know, when we did Holy Rollers, I just heard of Hasidic Jews that smuggle ecstasy, and we created Sammy Gold, you know, as one of these many different characters. Just what we felt was going to be, you know, accurate.
It's so fascinating because I am Jewish. I was bat mitzvahed and I did Birthright, you know, and all of that. But I haven't been to Israel much. And I, watching this movie, I was like, oh, so this is the side mom and dad don't tell you about when they say go to temple. You know, look at all this stuff.
But, you know, for me, that was actually very, very important. You know, when I watched movies about, you know, Israel or Israeli characters, it's most of the time biblical or it's, you know, or military. It's, you know, Mossad agents or anything like that. And I just think that no matter, even through it, it's through the eyes of a gangster, it's still, you see the culture, the music, the people, and Israelis are just like anyone else.
Yeah.
And you know, they're portrayed in certain ways. For me, it was important just to show their life and how they are and their community.
Yeah.
I feel like we did a good job in betraying it.
You did, because, you know, my whole life I always was like, they can't be that good. They're, you know, they're humans just like us.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's always fun, and it's an interesting story to follow, especially I feel like it does appeal to more than just a certain demographic, because it's about immigrants.
Absolutely.
And this story could have happened with any person that moved to America from another country.
Right, yeah. I mean, most of the movies that you watch about, you know, gangsters, people like that, are Italian. You know, then, you know, lately you see some Russians and Albanians, but never an Israeli. So I felt like that was pretty cool. And just the music and you really feel the community was important to me.
Tell me about directing the film, because this, if correct me if I'm wrong, this is your first directorial.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So, you know, I co-wrote the movie with Giancarlo, and once the script was done and I started, you know, trying to figure out who was going to direct this, and I had a few meetings with directors, and I really understood that they don't really get the characters and the storyline, what I'm trying to accomplish. And then, you know, I was thinking to myself, do I need to direct this if I want to make this particular movie? And people were telling me that, you know, you got to be crazy, you know, directing, producing, starring, you know. But I really wanted to make the film. And I figured, let me figure out a way to do it. I knew that if I put a great team behind me, you know, a great DP, a great first AD, a great line producer, and all departments, great heads of all departments, I can probably pull this off. I'm an actor. I know how to speak to actors. I know what actors want to hear. Visually, I felt like I learned a lot by being on set. People thought I was crazy. You know, I mean, it's a big task to take on, but I was ready for it, and I did it. And, I mean, honestly, directing was the most gratifying thing I could do. It's incredible. I think I want to pursue and continue to do it. Yeah, it was great.
Did you ever think that you would do this one day, or just kind of you're like, well, I might as well do it myself?
No, I never thought about directing, ever. First and foremost, I was an actor. As a kid, I wanted to be an actor. And then when I got into it, I produced my short. I acted in it. You know, I started producing and acting in little roles. And I was like, it never crossed my mind. But I do whatever it takes to make the film that I want to make and as good as possible. And I felt like I was the best person for the job. So I did it.
I mean, sometimes I feel as though people put themselves in their things, you know, and you sometimes wish they didn't. Not in this case.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, you think, wow, someone to direct, star, and, you know, having written it to in your production company, you know, you produced it. Like, it's a big responsibility.
It is, you know, and people say to me, you know, you have no fear. It's not about not having fear. Yeah, I don't want to fail, you know. It's just that I believe in myself, and I wouldn't take on a character or a movie about a subject matter that I was not familiar with or I could not pull off in my own mind.
Right.
In my mind, I can do this, and I just have to show people. And my whole life, I've had to show people and prove people wrong. So to me, it was just another challenge.
Yeah, it's always fun when the bar is set, you know. It's like you always surprise people.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the purpose. I'm not trying to, like, prove, you know, to people. For me, it's more about what is the best thing for the movie. And I felt like, you know, I need to do this, and I'm going to do it my way, and I was the best person to do it, and I did it. I honestly surprised myself that how I adapted to it. But, you know, you have to understand, it's once you're in it, it's like you gotta perform. But I prepared for 3 months. I sat there. I created my shot list. I knew exactly what I wanted. And when I got in, it was just like, you know, go time.
Yeah. And it definitely shows. Like I said, you guys should check the movie out one way or another. It's very fun to watch, too, because it was all shot, actually, in Brooklyn.
New York and Manhattan.
Manhattan, Brooklyn, yeah.
But we shot it in Brooklyn in locations that are very, you know, familiar to me and where I grew up, where a lot of the Israeli community is. And, yeah, it's great.
And you have a lot of stuff coming up as well that we can't not mention. Of course, you know, you'd worked with Martin Scorsese before. You're working with him again.
Yeah, well, I did a small little role in The Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. It was just one little scene, but that was the best time of my life. And I was like, oh, my God. Then I auditioned for The Doorman in Vinyl in the pilot, and I got that. And that was incredible. But again, it was just a small little one scene. And every time I get to be on set with who I consider the greatest director of all time, it's just exciting, and I learn so much. And so I auditioned for this movie called The Irishman that they're shooting right now, and I got a small little role, a little bit bigger than what the other two were. And I actually go next week to finish it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I also have my next movie that you know, that we're going to put out is a documentary called Davi's Way. That I'm really, really excited about. My production company, we have a distribution division now, Tubi, and we are excited to bring it out. It's about Robert Davi, who's a character actor that I'm sure you know from Goonies mm-hmm. and License to Kill. He's an incredible Sinatra singer. He sings, you know, the Great American Songbook, that he likes to call it. And we follow him as he wants to celebrate Sinatra's 100th birthday.
Oh, cool.
And it's really funny. It's great. Tom Donahue directed it. Elon and myself produced it with Robert Davi. And my production company is going to put it out within the next, we're thinking, 4 or 5 months.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, if you guys are watching, if you're listening, you can kind of see that you, Danny, just very much remind me of like an Al Pacino, like a Israeli Al Pacino or Robert De Niro, you know. All of those kind of people, and it's. I mean, I hope you take that as a compliment.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love those guys. I mean, I grew up on Robert De Niro and Al Pacino and the greatest of all time. Yeah, I mean, I take that as a compliment, of course. Thank you.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's really cool now that, you know, I feel like before when those actors were younger, producing necessarily and doing all these things on your own wasn't as much of an option for them. But I feel like you're coming into the industry just like doing all of your own stuff and setting it down, and you, people can do, you know, everyone can do that now.
Well, I remember listening to Scorsese talk about how Raging Bull came together, and he said that De Niro would come to his house and knock on his door and had a book, and the book was about Ray Liotta, the mm-hmm. boxer, and he's like, I want to do this movie, and Marty's like, well, I don't know anything about boxing, you know, and it's, but that was the moment where I said to myself, you know, these guys were just like us, you know, young New Yorkers that are trying to make independent films. And now, of course, they're the biggest movie stars and directors in the world. But they started from somewhere, too. And why can't we make, you know, independent films like that? I mean, they've been very, very successful at it. You know, we're just excited if someone sees our movie. But they set the bar. And if you want to make something, you go ahead. And if you need to produce it, you need to do it. And that's what you do. You know, the acting comes, you know, right now. If I, you know, I don't really get to audition much, not only because I'm busy, you know, it's if I find the right material, of course I would audition. I mean, but we're concentrating on trying to make things that we want the world to see, that we want to make.
So are, do you consider yourself, if you kind of had to choose, people hate this question, so I'm sorry, if you were more of an actor or a writer or producer, kind of like, at least right now, I know it fluctuates in life.
Right, well, I don't consider myself a writer, even though I co-wrote 2 movies. It's just that I get in there and I help out with the story. Mm-hmm. I happen to be taking a credit because, you know, the writer is like, you're really writing this with me.
But, yeah.
So, no, I'm not really a writer. And a director, I mean, this is my first direct job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's new for me. But an actor, I love acting and producing. I mean, I produced... you know, parties and clubs before. I mean, it's the same thing, basically, you know, putting it together.
Can you tell me and the fans how that's similar, working at a club and nightlife and parties and compared to movies?
Well, when you put together a movie and you put together a party, it all comes together. It's the same thing as far as, like, you know, you have so much responsibility putting everything together. So let's say in a club scenario, in a party, you have to make sure you hire the DJ. You get the space. You hire the doorman, you invite, you know, you create the invitations, you invite people, you do all this stuff to put together one particular night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the movie, it's the same way. You raise the money, you cast the people, you hire the director, you hire a casting director, you put it all together. It's producing on a different level and different business, but it's really just putting it all together. That's what producing really means.
That's awesome. I mean, and it's always fun to see how things can transfer, skills can transfer to the entertainment industry, whatever you want to do. And I love how you broke into industry. I love your story. And
thank you.
I very much liked this film. It was really, really fun. So please, please go out and see it. If you're in Los Angeles, it'll be out on the 16th.
Right? In Miami, yeah.
In Miami, yeah.
Check it out.
And it's out in New York. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you. You're awesome. I really appreciate it.
And thank you all for watching. Rate, review, subscribe. Leave us some comments if you want. And here we have our awesome song again. What's the band called one more time?
The Brooklyn Stick Up. It's King Mean.
Cool.
And check it out.
Yeah. And where can everyone find you on Instagram and everything?
So I'm on Instagram at DannyA27.
Perfect. And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Thank you so much. First Menounos, we take Brooklyn, Undergaro, takebrooklyn.com.
And the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
Since they can't read, they can't read them. And I'm so high, I can't see.